Joining us now from the Augusta Chronicle, John Boyette. Welcome into the golf shop, John.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing great. I was going to ask you if Augusta National had replaced the tree on 17, the Eisenhower tree that had gone down. But instead, I'm going to say, has Jordan Spieth's chunked divot from his third shot on 12 been repaired yet?
I certainly hope so. I don't know if it's repaired in his mind yet, but...
Yep. Did we lose you? No, you're still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. We had a little hiccup there. It's funny. This is the third year we're 2 weeks from the Masters, and we want to talk about landscaping. I mean, we had a winter of ice, and then we had the tree, and now we have the azaleas. Are those of us who aren't able to go down and be there personally, are we going to see any blooming azaleas at this year's Masters?
Sadly, I think the azaleas are gone. We had a pretty hard freeze last week, as you probably know, and a lot of the color in the area has disappeared. My azaleas in my yard, they were out in full force, and they've just dried up, and it's kind of sad, but I'm sure they'll have some of the plants will be in bloom, and I think they bring some in. Some of the areas that they stage, azaleas, bring in the potted ones and that kind of stuff. But, out on the course, hole 13, which is called azalea because there's literally thousands of, blooms out there. And I just can't imagine that all those are going to be in full force.
Yeah, I mean, a few years back, I remember they had to bring some in from elsewhere, but they're bad everywhere. So, and there's probably no shortage of volunteers who'd be willing to dress up like azaleas and sit there very still.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that's a great seat, We got
camouflage.
Exactly. We got 1,000 azalea costumes with just little eye holes so you can watch the event. I that could be a winner.
I like it.
All right. So, John, when we start talking about, obviously I made fun of Jordan Spieth and, it was interesting. Last year, I remember I actually had a conversation with my wife, and it was like she's like, "Well, what are you doing here on Sunday?" I said, "Well, I'm going to watch the Masters, but Jordan Spieth's kind of getting away with it here. So, if you're ready to go and he's up by six shots or whatever it was, if he's just running away, we can go shopping or do whatever you want." And then, ironically enough, I walked out. I said, "Do you want to go shopping? Because it just hit the fan." And she goes, "No, I really don't want to go." I said, "Good, because I'm not going." So is he recovered from this? Has he recovered from this? Do you think?
I thought he had. A couple. He went down and played. I guess over the winter or sometime when they opened up, and I think he birdied number 12 twice, and I think when he started the year out in Kapalua out in Hawaii at the Tournament of Champions, he made a point to talk about how, he had thought he'd exercised his demons. And, then earlier this week he came out and said, "Hey," said, "I'm ready to put this Masters behind me." So, and then Rory McIlroy had a little give and take and said, "Well," he said, you'll still be asked about that, for years to come because, Rory had his famous meltdown. So, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't think we'll truly know until Thursday afternoon when he crosses the Hogan Bridge, and hopefully he's put his tee shot on the green and has a nice look at birdie.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rory's position is very well played, very well calculated. I mean, when a guy says, "Oh no, I'm not even thinking about it," well, of course you have to be thinking about it, right? I mean, you kind of put it in his head by telling him he has to be thinking about it, and sometimes when a player says, "No, it's not an issue, I'm not thinking about it," It's a thou doth protest too much situation. But I think with Spieth, I really do think he's over it. I think he's one of those athletes that is blessed with a very short memory. I mean, I think he's going to be fine.
The guy's got the best average in Masters history in three starts. He's won and finished second twice. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't do math, but that's, his average finish is less than two.
So, John, let me ask you that. I always wonder – When media like yourself get to cover this golf tournament all the time, and you go out there and you get there on whatever day that you get there, when you first go out to the golf course, where do you go first?
Well, it's a little bit different. We actually get out there on Sunday now because of the drive, chip, and putt, and Sunday's kind of a relaxed, slow day, and they would never let you get out on the golf course. You could sort of hang around the clubhouse, the first tee area. and that's sort of true now with the drive, chip, and putt also. But, you know, my favorite spots, I've got two of them. I like to go down to Amen Corner or go to the 16th hole. And, you know, when I was a kid in college, I worked on the scoreboard at number six, and you could look right across the fairway of six and see 16, you know, the tee shot and everything. So that place has got a little special place in my heart.
Now, well, and you mentioned the drive, chip, and putt, and then, of course, there's the par three. I mean, these ancillary events, as someone who's been around it as long as you have, is it have they changed the way it feels? Is the drive, chip, and putt just a wonderful addition to the week?
Yeah, I don't think there's any drawback to it. You know, like I said, you know, for most of the guys, it was kind of a relaxed day. I mean, they still have members playing out there on the Sunday before, and really none of that's changed. I mean, you know, it's just, I guess, the kids, you know, take up a little bit of the space on the practice range, you know, early in the day. But, you know, by 1 o'clock, that event's over with, and the pros can get on with their business. And, you know, I think that's, you know, it's a really neat event. If you haven't seen it or watched it on TV, you know, these kids are incredible. We just put together all the bios for them, and we're going to publish those next Saturday. And, you know, just what these kids have accomplished at such a young age. I mean, I'm scratching my head saying, man, I'm a loser.
and you know, and Mike mentioned the par three. Now, the par three has had a change this year, and the field's going to be a little bit tighter in terms of only participants in the actual golf tournament. Are you kind of disappointed? I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I get where they're coming from, but I'm still disappointed that I'm not going to get to see some of the great champions that aren't Masters champions, you know, play in the par three.
Yeah, and people, you know, the average golf fan doesn't realize that if you're a former major champion, you know, you got invited to the Masters and you had, you know, you could play practice rounds and could play in the par three. And, you know, I think Jerry Pate famously won it. You know, about 15 years ago or so, and he hadn't competed in the Masters since the early 80s. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it is, you know, I always say that the Masters is like a living museum. You can see all these great golfers of the past, and, you know, hopefully you know, some of these guys will still be coming, and, you know, they'll hang out around the big oak tree behind the clubhouse. And, you know, but I agree with you. I'm a little disappointed in it, and I really haven't had time to go and look and examine the numbers, but I can't imagine that it was that many guys that were, you know, taking up a spot.
Well, I mean,
playing in the par three.
Yeah, I totally get practice rounds. I mean, I really don't see why those guys were ever really allowed to go out and play practice rounds on the actual golf course, but I don't understand how the par three impacts anything. I mean, especially since the last few years, the par threes become a spectacle for ESPN. I mean, they have guys everywhere, and they have a big, you know, presence there and set up behind the ninth green and all that stuff. And I just don't understand why you would take that away from the par three. I totally get the rest of it, but it's just kind of odd to me that I guess they felt like if they take one thing away, they needed to take everything away.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to go back and examine the numbers, but you know, I can't imagine that there's more than a dozen guys that were playing in the par three that weren't Masters champions or in the field. I mean, you know, I think, you know, David Duvall and Rich Beam and Curtis Strange and a lot of those guys, I mean, they're there to do TV work. But, yeah, I don't think Curtis has played in the par three in quite some time. But, you know, it's, you know, that's one of the things that sets Augusta apart from everybody else. And then I hate to see it go away.
Well, and as you guys get ramped up and excited to be part of hosting the world's, you know, greatest golfers in one of the best sporting events of the year, are you able to put the fan in you aside, or is it exciting, you know, for you to get out there and watch these guys play? And I guess, are you looking at anybody that maybe we're not thinking of? I early on, I was thinking about Hideki Matsuyama because he was playing so well so early, but he hasn't made a lot of noise in the last month. Are there players that you're excited to see that maybe haven't gone out there and won in the past?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the answer to the first part of your question, I mean, I think it's always hard for me to separate the fan part of me. And I always tell people that I get excited when I drive through the green gates, and you know, when that thrill goes away, then I'll know that something's wrong with me, or you know, or it's time to hang it up. It's always fun to go out there and just be part of it. And they built a new media center this year, and I got a chance to go look at that a couple weeks ago, and it's spectacular. So they moved us a little bit further away from the course, but you know, it's they've got a lot of bells and whistles in the new place, and I think everybody's going to be really pleased with it. Second part of your question, yeah, I was the same place with you. I was thinking that Hideki was a good choice. I don't see how Dustin Johnson won't be the absolute favorite to win in 2 weeks. As far as an underdog, you know, Søren Jeltsen, you know, from Denmark, I think he's playing really well, and I think he had the top 10 finish last year.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, and I'm going to go back to landscaping and property and all that kind of stuff. Every once in a while, we see that Augusta National pops up and they buy more property. You know, I know they bought, what was it, a Pep Boys or something like that that's nearby.
Right.
What's kind of happening? I mean, is this parking? Is it, you know, to kind of set the grounds off a little bit more? I mean, what's kind of the goal and the speculation of where they're going?
Well, they bought all the land, you know, sort of west of Berkman's Road, you know, and that's where they sort of created their parking lots and all that. In the past year, they've started buying up more of the properties along Washington Road that kind of border the property. And one of the big ones was a place called Jay's Music Store. And for those who've been to the Masters, it was right at the corner of Old Berkman's and Washington Road. And they'd sort of sell out for the week and have a lot of different golf-related companies that would use that place as a headquarters. And they were kind of one of the staunch people who refused to sell into the Masters, and they took $5 million and decided they could set up at a different location. So, and actually that's going to be right near where the new media center is. You know, I think it's just, you know, controlling their borders and being able to, you know, provide, I mean, from my standpoint, it looks like that they are trying to, you know, take away all the things that outside people were trying to capitalize on. And when I say that, I mean, back in the old days, you know, parking along Washington Road, you could pull into somebody's yard and, you know, park for $5, then $10, then $15 and $20. And you don't see any of that hardly anymore. And then you had all these hospitality houses that would crop up, and, you know, they would, you know, were doing it up really nice and bringing people in and serving, you know, premium food and high-end cocktails. And, you know, having a really luxury experience. And now, you know, of course, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, Augusta National opened up Berkman's Place, which is their hospitality house. And I've been in it once, and it's spectacular. So that's the type of thing I think that they're trying to do. They're trying to control. They don't want anybody capitalizing on their game.
Well, John, we started with agronomy, and I want to end with agronomy. From what you've seen, you know, on the course and of your own yard, probably, what can we expect the conditions of the course to be, and how might it impact play this year?
You know, I mean, we always hope for a firm and fast Masters, but, you know, one of the long-range forecasts calls for some rain that week. And I always tell people around here, I said, I've been, you know, around this area for a long time. You know, you're going to have some cool mornings. You know, I know the temperature forecast for next week is, you know, highs of the low to mid 80s, and, you know, the temperature is not down below 50. But, you know, it seems like we always get one more cold snap, you know, during Masters week. So, you know, so I hope it's a dry week for my sake and the patrons' sake. But, you know, we're going to have some weather, you know, be it cold or a little bit of rain. You know, and if that happens, if it's a little wet, then I think that's, you know, plays into Rory McIlroy's hands. I think he seems to play on the good wet lush long golf courses.
Oh yeah, there you go. Well, John, man, as always, we appreciate you coming on with us. We look forward to a great Masters week, and don't disappoint us.
Yeah, and you can check out all of our coverage at Augusta.com. So that's our place for all of our Masters stories and photos. And thanks again for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot.